Hi, my name is Veronica. The project that I had done this past semester actually was looking at the effect of plant growth regulators and nitrogen fertilization on the partitioning of red clover growth. So kind of keeping in the theme with the conference, one of the great challenges to a lot of producers with mixed pasture stands is how to establish and maintain legumes within their pasture. Legumes require a higher level of management than grass pastures alone due to their high nutrition requirements, as well as they're a little bit less competitive than most grasses. Despite this challenge, however, they are very beneficial in a pasture program, not only because they're highly nutritious in terms of crude protein, digestibility, calcium, and phosphorus, which their levels are usually a little bit higher than grasses, but also because of their ability to be nitrogen fixing. So it's also usually very beneficial to help deficient soils. So looking at a possible solution that we were evaluating was actually the plant growth regulators. So they've been used for a while. If you kind of look back through history, it got started with horticulture, forestry, and turf crops. And the reasons why is because they lead to increase in branching, leaf and stem elongation, fruiting development, as well as several other kind of side effects depending on the type that you're using. But recently, we've been looking more into the areas of agronomy, specifically looking at grass pastures and cereal grains and the effect that they have in yields. But the question that we were evaluating was, what would be their effect on legumes in a mixed pasture? Specifically, we looked at the effect on red clover, or Trifolium pratense, as it's ideal because it's widely used as a pasture legume and it's very economical to use. So the objectives of our study were to evaluate the effects of plant growth regulators on red clover, specifically looking at two kind of components, the first being a pre-emergent treatment and the second being a post-emergent treatment. In addition, we also evaluated the interaction of plant growth regulators with the addition of nitrogen fertilization using three rates of urea, 0, 75, and 150 pounds per acre. So looking at kind of how we designed the experiment, we used Kenlyn red clover at 10 pounds an acre. We had 10 plant growth treatments that we used, the first being the pre-emergent with the water steeped seed. Then we had 5 micromoles of chloroethyl phosphoric acid, or CEP, and a second higher concentration of that at 10 micromoles. We also had 2 post-emergent treatments that we did in 2 applications. We had a 0.35 ounce and a 0.7 ounce per acre of gibberellins, or GA3. Then we also had the same rate with the GA4, GA7 gibberellin. That was one product that had 2 different types of gibberellins. And then the last was 0.3 and 0.6 ounces per acre of 6-benzyladenine, the last being a control, just to kind of compare. In setting up our design, we used a randomized complete block design with 4 replications and LSD to evaluate our statistics. So looking at kind of how we took our data and collecting that, we kind of divided it very similar to how we applied our treatments in looking first at the pre-emergent treatments and collecting data, and then the post-emergent. So with the pre-emergent, we did seedling counts, basically just counting the number of seeds that came up. And then we also looked at leaf area, which was just counting the initial kind of leaf coverage in our plots. Moving on to the post-emergent treatments, we had a very similar kind of data collection with the leaf area, and the second being a little bit different in terms of harvest weights, where we actually went and collected samples, which would be similar to a graze-type pasture. The last part of the study was a final plant shoot count that was at the very end of the study, in which we took up all the plots that we had and went ahead and looked to see the thickness of the stands by counting the number of shoots. So starting with our pre-emergent treatment and the data that we had, the first kind of variable that we looked at was the seedling count. So just to kind of give a representative sample here, we had 2 of our plots, and basically what we would do is just go through and kind of count, if I can get this up here. So we would go through and just count like 1, 2, 3, things of that nature. So looking at our data, we had days 5 and 9 after seeding. So initially you can see here, we have 3 groupings statistically. The first being the water steeping, which had the highest kind of benefit initially with quite a few more seeds coming up, roughly about 10 in difference to the control, whereas our 2 CEP treatments, they were a little bit stunted in growth when you look at the control versus the water steeping. However, when we move on to day 9 after seeding, you see here that our water steeping and our control have kind of leveled out, so there was only that initial benefit in getting that quicker germination time. However, in contrast with our 2 CEP treatments, that really stunted the growth of our clover coming up, and that will continue to kind of progress as we look through our data. Looking at the second component of the pretreatment was the plant leaf area coverage. You can see kind of with growth, like we would see, there's an upward trend. However, we see two different kind of groupings when looking at the beginning and the end of this sample period. 7 days after the seeding, we had three groupings here, the first being the water steeping. So again, that had a little bit of a benefit in terms of quicker germination times. Shortly after that, we have the control. So just kind of shows that there was that initial benefit. However, the two CEP treatments are still a little bit below, so they really did stunt that growth. And you can kind of see that upward trend there. The CEPs never quite catch up to the levels of the control and the water steeping. They had actually leveled out by around day 21 of the study. So after day 21 days of seeding, we went ahead and looked into our post-treatments. But you can kind of see the effects carry over of the CEPs. So to give you a visual representation of this, you can see in the middle here, we have our water steeping treatment. There's a lot of seeds that have come up there. They've got really nice morphology, a lot of coverage in that sense. But when you compare, this is the lower concentration of our CEP. This is our higher concentration. The lower here, there's a lot less emerged seeds. They don't have nearly as much coverage. And then with our higher concentration, that seems to be a little bit less than that as well. So looking into our post-emergent data that we had here, the first kind of area that we looked at was plant leaf coverage. So by the picture here, you can kind of see this is exactly what I would go through and do. We had our plot grid pictures that we took, and then we had our grid, and we would just kind of count the average coverage of the leaf that we saw. So looking at the data, this was the first application that we had, so 21 days after seeding. We saw here that 3 days after we had applied our treatment, we had two main groupings here, the first being our control, the water steeping, and our post-emergent plant growth regulators that we had applied. And there's not really that much of a difference in between the data that we had seen, which was a little bit unexpected. We see here that the post-emergent plant growth regulators are pretty much right on top of our control, and then our water steeping is just a little bit above starting out, but shortly on, that does kind of equal out a little bit. But our second statistical grouping here, we see that the two CEP treatments, they try and get fairly close around day 38. They're about equal. However, they never quite reach that same level of the water steeping, the control, and our post-emergent plant growth regulators. So we start out with two statistical groupings, and we end up with two statistical groupings as well. But when we look at application two, we kind of start to see a little bit of a different trend. Instead of having that kind of upward movement, we have a little bit of zigzag in there, if you will. We start out with three statistical groupings. Again, the first being our post-emergent plant growth regulators, our control and the water steeping, followed by that lag period of the two CEP treatments. What was unique, though, is that by around day 15, we see that they've all kind of equaled out a little bit, which might have just been some error that we had in collecting the data or something of that nature, because as we move on here, especially towards the end, by day 66, we see that we're back to two groupings with the plant growth regulators, the water steeping, and our control being about the same, whereas the two CEPs, they've actually equaled out. However, they're still a little bit below in terms of the leaf area that we see. So the next measurement that we took was forage yield, so this would have been when we went ahead and harvested. So looking at our first application here, day 13 after our treatment, we had everything was very similar in terms of the yields that we got, but as we move on, we still see kind of an upward trend in the yields, which would just have been kind of that plant as it grows. But as you get to day 55, we see that there's two kind of statistical groups that have kind of distinguished themselves, with the upper one being our post-emergent plant growth regulators, the water steeping, which is just a little bit higher, and our control. Now below that, we have our two CEP treatments, which again, they've never quite caught up to the levels of the water steeping. So the effects of these CEPs have really stunted the plant as we've kind of gone through the study. Looking at application two, we see a little bit of a different trend here as well, but again, we've only got two groupings here statistically. The first being the control water steeping and the post-emergent plant growth regulator, again, followed by the two CEPs, and we see that trend kind of continue as we look at our study. The last area that we really kind of evaluated here was the, at the very end of the study and looking at the plant shoots that we had and taking up all of our plants and evaluating the thickness of the stand. So what was unique is if you kind of compare this to the beginning of the study, we had two different groups instead of the three that we saw initially at the very beginning. So here we have our control, which was pretty much statistically equal to our water steeping and our post-emergent plant growth regulators. They all had a fairly similar yield there. But with our two CEP treatments, these are still very much so stunted in terms of the thickness of the stand and the number of shoots that we had. So those are roughly about 10 shoots per pot, whereas the control, water steeping, and the plant growth regulators were about 20. So we see a difference of about half there. So throughout the study, I've been talking about how water steeping and our post-emergent plant growth regulators were different from our CEPs, but we didn't actually see that difference in terms of yields with the harvest. They were all fairly consistent. Despite that, when we were looking at our samples, you could see these long stems. We had a lot of leaf elongation. So visually, we were thinking that we were going to see a big difference between the weights that we had in the harvest. But this is still important to the producer in the sense that if you have a pasture, one of the main reasons that legumes are hard to maintain is because they just can't compete with those grasses. So with this long elongation, that visual difference, that will really be beneficial to the legumes because if they can kind of extend that stem, that'll get them up in the canopy and really have a really good shot at competing. So in conclusion, we kind of have three main concluding points here. The first being that the difference in visual appearance versus the harvested yield weights showed that there was no benefit between the control and the post-emergent treatments. Despite that, like I just mentioned, the visual difference, that did show that there might be some added advantage to some of the plants in maintaining that canopy height. The second point being that the pre-emergent treatments proved to actually be detrimental to establish the growth of the legume used. So that would be our CEP treatments that we had. So those had stunted the plant initially early on in seedlings, and that just continued throughout the study. So those would probably be very detrimental to the growth of any plant in legumes. The third point being that water steeping may lead to a quicker germination time to aid in faster establishment. So we saw that with that first slide that I had with the different graphs, and it might just help those seedlings come out initially. But how this is important to the producer, the first point being the difference in the visual growth being beneficial in mixed stands of legumes and grasses. So this is, as I kind of discussed, it'll just help legumes to be a little bit more competitive in maintaining that canopy height, fighting for that sunlight and things of that nature. The second point being that producers may face lower profits with investment in plant growth regulators without receiving the increased yields. So if they invest in a product such as the CEP treatment, they're going to be spending money on that product, but they're not going to be seeing the difference in the yields. And in fact, they might have lowered yields, so that might be a lower profit to them. The third point would be the water steeping, which may lead to faster germination rates and aid in quicker establishment. So this would be beneficial, particularly in species that have a low vigor, such as bird's foot trefoil. These are my references. And other than that, thank you for your attention, and I will take any questions. So the question you're just asking is, if, from a producer standpoint, if you're going to go ahead and soak those seeds and steep them, the effect that it would have. So there's several different effects. So early on, what we did is we just went ahead and took all of our seeds and let them soak for about 24 hours. So from a producer standpoint, for one, this may not be the easiest thing for most producers to do. But if you were able to do it, we didn't use the plant growth regulators on those water steeping treatments, but gibberellins are actually released in seeds that have been, once they start to absorb that water, so that might have some effect again on the stem elongation and things of that nature. So I think with those seeds, what's happening is they're starting to use their carbohydrate reserves a little bit faster with that gibberellin production, and then they're shooting those stems up just a little bit faster than the rest of them. Any other questions?
Are about performed every treatment. So that
the control as a treatment. The control didn't have any treatment.
Right, you know, it didn't have any treatment, but it seemed like it had good performance.
Right.
As compared to all the plant growth.
Right. So it was very similar, and I will also note that the plant growth regulators, it was an average of all the plant growth regulators that we have had. So there might have been some difference in with each individual plant growth regulator when compared to the control. So as I guess I kind of mentioned towards the end with the producer implications, if they're making the investment in the plant growth regulators and not seeing any difference between the control, you really can't recommend that they make that investment, because obviously if you're just using the plant alone, you're going to see very similar yields. So in terms of management, that would probably just be similar to most management practices that we recommend today with mixed pastures and just trying to keep that canopy height equal so that legumes can have a competing chance against grasses. Does that answer your question? Okay, great. Any other questions? Okay, great. Thank you so much.